Hey, good morning, Encounter family. All right, we're going to have to begin a little bit better than that. Let's level up our praise to the glory of Jesus Christ this morning. Yes, Lord. Well, it is great to be with you this morning on this chilly little rainy day in Ventura County. We're glad you joined us. And before I get into the message this morning, which I'm really looking forward to, I want to share some praises with you from 2024 and also an invitation that I believe is going to lead to further praise in the future. Because as a church family, we are already looking forward to reaching out this Christmas to our friends, our family, our really the region and to the world. As you can see over here, Operation Christmas Child is in full swing, and so we just praise God for all of you who are a part of that. As soon as these get sent off this week to children all around the world, we begin to focus on our heartfelt holidays, which is a way that we're reaching out to our community to in partnership with some of our partner ministries, and this is really something that God has used Lindsay, our care and events director, to develop, and it was so powerful last year. We're looking forward to what God wants to do it through this year. And then even as I think about Christmas Eve services coming up and all those things, I think about just what was happening not that long ago, like this last summer. Doesn't summer seem like a long time away? This last summer, I want to just remind you as a praise report this morning, we had 283 children at Vacation Bible School this last year. That is not counting the 60 students who were serving as a part of that. And our fall camp for students this last year, Moose Mountain, we had the most students we've ever had, 75 students there. I was talking to Austin this last week, and the event that our youth had this last week was called Friendsgiving. What a great name, by the way. And they had, with all the adults and leaders who were helping out, there were 150 people there as students invited their friends and gave them a first touch event to what it means to be a part of a church family and a youth ministry. And we praise God for that. And then I think about just the many, many praise reports that I am getting from so many people connected to the different parts of our women's ministry. We had our dinner in Devo just a week ago Friday. I'm just curious, women in the room, how many of you were there? Raise your hands. Let's see. Do you see all those hands out there? You know there's so many hands? Because at dinner in Devo, we had 160 women just 2 weeks ago. And I have talked to so many of you who have shared how the Lord showed up in very special ways that evening. And this last week, WOW, which is called Women of the Word, they had their Christmas event, and God is just moving in the lives of women as they gather in the Word. And then MomCo. We have so many people that want to be a part of MomCo. We have a waiting list for the children that we can't even satisfy, and that is a good problem to have, Encounter family. And so I just praise God for how the Lord is using Lindsay and Kelly and Audrey and Carrie, this group of leaders that are really providing just fruitful impact for the glory of God. And I hope you praise God for all the Lord is doing with them. And then I was just thinking back, it wasn't that long ago, we're almost at Thanksgiving, but we had our All Together service. And with the baptisms that were taking place at All Together, if you look back at 2024, 60 people have proclaimed their faith in Jesus Christ through baptism this last year. So praise God for that. Those are people who are expressing their life in Christ, many for the very first time, beginning a relationship with Him. And Gloria was just up here and talking about Praise Kids. I know sometimes you might think of Praise Kids as a Christmas production. Praise Kids is a discipleship production. And God uses the whole season of Praise Kids, and it culminates with our children telling us the story of who Jesus Christ is. And I hope you'll invite your friends and family to be a part of that. And then we're doing praying for the nations today after this service. Man, we continue to get praise reports of what God is doing in the lives of people around the world through our global partners. This next year, we are trusting the Lord for three different short-term mission trips. One is in February. It's our La Montaña trip. It goes to Costa Rica, where we work in partnership with what God is doing in our La Montaña Christian camp there that reaches out to students. We have another team going out for the very first time of students to Ireland this summer. And then, of course, our Honduras short-term team this next summer as well. And God's just on the move. We're just thankful that we get to be a part of His work around the world. And then this next year, we're looking forward to some conferences. The Charged Men's Conference is coming up in the new year, along with our More Women's Conference, and then a first ever a youth conference, one-day youth conferences, and really just asking the Lord, Lord, would you allow us to have a regional influence to reach people for Christ and to raise people up in their relationship with God? And so many great things to pray for. And I could go on and on. I could tell you about individual life group and small groups and where the Lord is at work and many other ministries in our community. I could tell you about Celebrate Recovery, whose leaders are sitting right over here. Do you know that Celebrate Recovery meets every week, no matter what is going on? In fact, it's Thanksgiving this week. And Celebrate Recovery will be there so that all of us can come and bring our hurts, habits, and hang-ups and experience the healing power of the hope of Jesus Christ. And I am thankful for all of those things. And those ministries happen because you are using your gifts in the lives of people. Can I hear an amen? Those ministries are also happening because God is using your generosity ministry to fund all of those things taking place both here and around the world. And I always think it's appropriate every once in a while to give the Lord a hand for how he works through his people. So can we praise God for his generosity ministry through all the people of Encounter? I praise the Lord for you and just thank God for what he's doing through you. You know, one of my commitments to you as your lead pastor is not only to always praise God and be the celebrator in chief of what the Lord is doing around us, but also to just always let you know what's going on financially. And we're coming to the end of the year. We call it our end of the year giving time. And I have two goals that I want to share with you that we are asking you to pray for and potentially give for if you feel led. And here are our two goals this year. The first one is what we are calling our joy goal. And this is what we're praying for. That in the end of the year, above our normal monthly giving that we normally have, that $220,000 would be given in end of the year giving, above and beyond what we normally do. And the reason I'm sharing that request is because if that happens, we will not only finish this year financially strong, but we'll begin the new year on a trajectory of strength as we begin a new budget year that we're trusting the Lord for in the new year. And then our higher goal, this is our level up goal. This is really a God-sized goal for us, is that above our normal monthly giving, that $320,000 would come in. And if that happens, it will actually just multiply everything that the Lord is doing. And the beautiful part of this is if you've never been a part of the generosity ministry of Encounter and you give in December or January, you get to be a part of that goal. And if we trust the Lord for a little bit more, and so here's what I'm asking all of us to do as we end the year. I'm asking that you would prayerfully just ask the Lord if there's something that you can do above and beyond what you normally do. And then not only that, imagine this. Imagine if we all did something, and then also we all did something sacrificial. I just believe the Lord is going to blow up what he wants to do through the lives of people, through all the ministries of our church, as we enter into a new year together. And my ask is always, just pray about it. And if you're married or a family, pray about it together. Ask the Lord to give you a number. If he gives you a number, give it joyfully. And we always say this at Encounter, every dollar makes a difference. You know why we always say that? Because it does. And no gift is too small and no gift is too large. So here's the two goals I want you to pray for. Our joy goal, which is $220,000 above our normal. And I know some of you are out there, the mathematicians, you're like, what's our normal, all right? So our normal monthly average right now is about $180,000, just a little bit shy of that. So our prayer is that between December and January, that $220,000 would come in for our joy goal, or even our level up goal, that $320,000 would come in during those 2 months, and you can do it at any time. And so let's trust the Lord for something sacrificial, and watch the Lord blow things up as he continues to work through the lives of his people. Can I hear an amen? Amen. All right, stand with me for the reading of God's word this morning. We have a lot to praise him for today and to get to in his word. We're in Philippians chapter 4, starting in verse 10. And by the way, I guarantee you I'll come back in February and share what the Lord has done through his people. We're in Philippians chapter 4, starting in verse 10. This is the Apostle Paul writing to the church in Philippi. I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at length you've revived your concern for me, says the Apostle Paul. You were indeed concerned for me, but you had no opportunity. Not that I am speaking of being in need, for I have learned in whatever situation I am to be content. I know how to be brought low. I know how to abound. In every circumstance, I have learned the secret of facing plenty and hunger, abundance and need. I can do all things through him who strengthens me. I almost feel like I don't need to pray beyond that last phrase, but we'll pray with it. Pray with me this morning. Father God, we need you. And we invite you to speak loudly for your living word right now. We love you, Jesus. We do praise you for all that you are doing in this last year. And we praise you for what is yet to come. And we praise you for what is yet to come in this moment right now. So we look to you, Jesus. In your precious name we pray. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. Please be seated. One of the great composers and musicians of all time is Johann Sebastian Bach. And all of you who are musical, you probably know this, but whenever he would compose something, at the end of his writing of that song, he would put three initials. And they were the letters SDG. And they stood for the Latin phrase, Soli Deo Gloria, and I'd sing it for you, but you'd all run away, all right? But what many of you may not know is that not only did he end every composure with that he did, every composition that he did, but whenever he began writing a song, he put two other letters at the beginning of every work that he did. They were the letters JJ, and they stood for the Latin phrase Jesu Uva, which means Jesus help. And so before one of the greatest giants of musical history would ever pen anything on paper, he would pause and he would cry out to the God and say, Jesus, help me. Strengthen me to use this gift in your power right now. And in Philippians chapter 4 and verses 11 through 13, it is all about living in God's strength right now, whether we're in a hill or whether we're in a valley. This is what the Apostle Paul says in verse 12. I have learned the secret of facing plenty and hunger, abundance and need. So get this, Paul goes, whether I am in a season where it feels like I have almost nothing, or whether I am in a season where it feels like I have even more than I could even comprehend or imagine, he has learned what he calls a secret in Christ that helps him to face whatever situation is in front of him in the moment. And when it comes to finding contentment in Christ, there's a key word in this passage. I don't want us to miss it. It really is part of unlocking the secret that God is inviting us to through the book of Philippians today. It is the word facing. I have learned the secret of facing. And Paul is not saying that there's some magic cure-all pill or formula or even a prayer that takes care of all of our problems this side of heaven. No, what he does say is I've learned something that is empowering me to face all of my challenges with Christ. And God never promises to take all of our problems away this side of heaven. But what he does promise is to empower us to face them with his presence in all of those things with a contentment that only Jesus Christ can give. And I want us to note the power of the promise in verse 12. He says, I know how to be brought low. How many of us know that well? And I know how to abound. In any and every circumstance, I have learned the secret of facing plenty and hunger, abundance and need. Now, this is the remarkable, audacious comprehensive language that Paul is using. He says, in any and every circumstance. I'm a little frustrated by that. That's a pretty bold statement. And yet, true faith in Jesus Christ always recognizes that there are ups and downs in life. That there are times as we walk with the Lord where we are abounding. And there are other times where we feel like we're being brought low. And an authentic relationship with Jesus always recognizes that it actually is normal as we walk through life to have ups and downs in life. But there's a secret found through Christ that allows us to face them with the fullness of who Jesus Christ is in the moment. And the truth is, if we would all admit it this morning, is we all love secrets, don't we? Especially good secrets. I have this famous story I always share about early in my marriage with Amy, where we hadn't been married that long, and I decided I was going to surprise her with a getaway weekend. And I made all of the plans. I had everything arranged. All I needed, we were both working full-time at the time, was for her to save the dates for the weekend. And so I came to her early in our marriage. I said, hey, got this special weekend planned. Just needed to hold these dates. And she says, I don't like surprises. I don't like secrets. I want to know what we're going to do. And I said, I can't tell you what we're going to do. It's a secret. It's a surprise. And she said, I don't like secrets and surprises. I want to look forward to what we're going to do. I said, I'm not telling you. I did all of these arrangements, and I want to surprise you. And as soon as those words came out of my mouth, this little tear started coming down her cheek out of those beautiful brown eyes that I had just recently married. And in that moment, I had a couple thoughts running through my head. And by the way, if you know my wife, Amy, you never cry alone with her. You never do. That is her heart. And she has actually learned that those tears always break me. Because what had happened just shortly before that is we were playing a board game called Risk with some friends. And how many of you know what Risk is out there? A few of you out there, you try to dominate the world, to take over all these territories. And in that game, in the next move, I had an opportunity to pretty much wipe her off the face of the planet in this game. And she knew I was going to do it, and she shed this little tear. And again, early in our marriage, I said, well, okay, it's kind of early in the game, early in the marriage to wipe my new bride off the face of the planet. And so I paused. And the next turn, she turned around and wiped me off the face of the planet. So here I was early in our marriage, and I'm thinking, is this a risk tear or is this an authentic tear? And I chose that it was an authentic tear, and I told her the surprise and where we were going so that we could look forward to it together. And this morning, Jesus is saying to us through his living word, I want you to know this secret, and I want it to give you hope right now and going into the future. As you know it, teaching us that finding contentment through Christ is a secret learned. In fact, two times in this short little passage on this very big topic of contentment, God is going to tell us that there was something that we had to learn about God-given contentment. First in verse 11, not that I'm speaking of being in need, for I have learned in whatever situation I am to be content. Then again in verse 12, I know how to be brought low, and I know how to abound. In any and every circumstance, I have learned the secret of facing plenty and hunger, abundance and need. And there's a lot of encouragement in this because right away we begin to see that spiritual contentment is not this like super gift that only the super Christians get to have. In fact, all of us have to learn it, whether we are the Apostle Paul or whether we are a brand new follower of Jesus Christ or whether we're even putting the pieces together right now of what it means to live with Jesus as our Savior and to know his free gift of life in him. And what's really interesting is many people don't think about this, but just about every Bible scholar who has studied the life of the Apostle Paul will tell you this, that between the moment when he came to know Jesus on the Damascus Road, he came to know his Savior, and then the time over here when he began to do his missionary activity, that between those two moments in his life was probably a 10 to 20 year period of time. Most people think it was closer to that 20 year period of time. And during that time, God was shaping him. And God gave people in his life, like these couple named Priscilla and Aquila, who invested in his life and spiritually mentored him and helped him to understand the Old Testament in light of the truth of the living Christ through the power of the resurrection as God was shaping the Apostle Paul. But that's just the thing. The secret of contentment in Christ can be learned. Even you and I can learn it. And I wonder if some form of discontentment is stealing your joy right now. And maybe the Lord is just whispering to you that he wants to lift you up today. And to do that, he wants to take us to contentment school. Because discontentment is like a mushroom. It grows in the dark and dirty soil of fear. And we need to expose it to the light of God's grace and to the light of Christ. And discontentment is a thief. It's a thief. It loves to steal our joy and our hope in the moment and our strength, you know, and our hope for looking forward. And it loves to mask the fruit of God's Spirit in us right now. It loves to shove it down. And to keep us from experiencing the fullness of God. And one of the core issues behind most discontentment is fear. It is. We fear that somehow we're not going to amount to anything. Or we fear that we're going to be alone. Or we fear that we're going to miss out on something that we deserve, that we think would give us greater satisfaction right now than what we have. And Paul says there's a secret, and you have to unlock it and face that fear. And in order to do that, you have to go to contentment school. Now, let me give you an example from my life when I literally went back to school. There was a period in our life where I went back to seminary after being a part of a church plant in Hawaii, Amy and I together, for 7 years. And we moved to Oregon, where I was in school for 4 years. And during that time, when we moved from Hawaii to Oregon, first of all, in Hawaii, I know you're going to think I suffered for the Lord as a youth pastor in Hawaii, but we had this rental house. Our church didn't have a building, no buildings. Everything happened in the home or someplace else that we were borrowing for the day. And just about all of our youth ministry happened in our home. And we had rented this house. It had space. It was just a simple Hawaii house, but it had space. But it was on a mountain and overlooked Pearl Harbor from up high. You could see the whole side of Oahu. I know, I suffered for the Lord in Hawaii. And we moved to Oregon for me to go to seminary. And we moved into this tiny place. And when we moved to Oregon, we had so many friends in Hawaii. But when we got to Oregon, we had zero friends other than some family members. And then also, when we were in Hawaii, we had 2 incomes. We didn't have any kids yet. When we got to Oregon and I started seminary, we had very little income, and God decided to make it interesting by blessing us with 2 precious twins as we began seminary together. And I remember the sunshine in Hawaii on that porch that wrapped around our house and moving to the cold, dreary weather of Oregon, where I'd look out our windows and there'd be like this frost on there, and you wouldn't see the sun until July 4th. No joke. And after you move in a moment like that, there comes this adjustment phase where you have to decide, am I going to give in to the thief of discontentment, or am I going to be able to engage in what God is doing right now? And I would tell you, it's that same thief that keeps us from diving into relationships sometimes with one another and others around us in our life. It's the same thief that sometimes keeps people from getting involved in a church where they go, yeah, I'm so new. I don't know enough about the Bible. I don't know enough. I don't know anybody here yet. How can I get to know other people? And practicing contentment is a spiritual growth process that God wants us to practice and learn. And whether we like it or not, we're all enrolled in contentment school through Jesus Christ. We are. And so our theme verse right now is 1 Timothy 4:15. It goes like this. Practice these things, these spiritual qualities like contentment that God wants to build in us, using some spiritual disciplines as we do so. Immerse yourself in them. Use the gifts and who God's made you right now for your life with the Lord, and then so that all may see your progress, so that God gets the glory. And the question becomes, have you learned the secret yet of practicing contentment, because finding contentment in Christ is a strength received, the Bible says. Look at verse 13 again. I can do all things through him who strengthens me. The secret is Christ's strength that we receive as we face the challenges that are in front of us, the highs and the lows. Now, I know when most people think about contentment, we think of being satisfied. And there's a little bit of truth in that, but I actually believe the Bible is taking us so much further than that today. And what the Bible is really leading us to is experiencing the fullness of Jesus Christ in the moment. Who he is right now, with whoever and whatever we are facing. And contentment doesn't mean we don't want more in life. It doesn't mean we coast. It doesn't mean we live a passive life. Or the Apostle Paul never would have said things like this in the chapter before in verse 13. But one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. He says, I press on. And the language is like a dog on a leash pulling someone. When we put our leashes on our dogs, it's like, poof, you know. I mean, you don't have a choice but to go. And part of what the Lord is saying to his word to us today is, hey, when you put on the fullness of the Spirit, it's like, poof. You know, God takes you places in the moment in the fullness of who he is. And verse 11 again, not that I'm speaking of being in need, for I have learned in whatever situation I am to be content. And that word content means to be sufficient. It means to be or to have enough. It's the realization that I'm already furnished. I'm adequately equipped to face whatever is in front of me right now through the fullness of who God is. That his grace is truly sufficient right now. And his strength is sufficient right now. And that is why Paul, in places like 2 Corinthians 12, verse 9, when he's talking about this thing in his life that he calls the thorn in the flesh, we don't know what it was. All we know is it always discouraged him, always caused him to feel like it was a challenge. He was always asking God to take it away, but God didn't take it away this side of heaven. And he writes things like this. Each time the Lord said, my grace is all you need. My power works best in weakness. So now I am glad to boast about my weaknesses so that the power of Christ can work through me. You hear that? Not my perfection, but by God's grace. Not my strength alone, but God's strength. Not only my wisdom, but God's wisdom. And finding contentment in Christ is a secret learned, and it is a strength received, and contentment is the grateful and fruitful use of what we have in Christ wherever God has placed us. And what a great word from the Lord as we go into a week of thanksgiving before him. And as the Apostle Paul is writing this, he's on death row because of his faith in Jesus Christ. And it's almost like he's looking back at his life as he sits here facing death for the gospel. And in many ways, he's going, I have learned that in all those moments where I didn't think I had enough, God was enough. And in all those moments where I thought God wasn't there, he was there. And in all those moments where I thought I couldn't do it, Jesus showed up. And by him and his strength, I could face it and make the most of it with him. And he is writing this from prison about joy and God's strength because he had learned it. He had practiced it by the grace of God. And I just pray, Spirit, work your wonder in us. The power of your grace in that statement, that it is a journey as we walk with Jesus. Because the world around us always says things like this, and we say it too sometimes. We always say the first half of Philippians chapter 4, verse 13. I can do it. I can do it by myself. I don't need other people. I don't need God. I can do it all. And then we fall short in some form or another. And the thief of discontentment starts to steal our joy and our strength. But God wants to declare to each and every one of us this morning that we can proclaim the entire verse of verse 13. I can do all things through Him who strengthens me. I can't do it, but God can. And this is important. Hear this morning. He's willing. He wants to give you His strength. It is available. And Christ being our strength, this is my experience in life. It's when I allow Him to begin to do that, that the joy comes back into play. Which is why the Bible says things like this about God's joy. Nehemiah chapter 8, verse 10. This day is holy to our Lord. Do you know that Encounter family? Today is holy to the Lord. Do not grieve, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. And God's strength and God's joy have this reciprocal relationship. They both feed each other, they both build on each other, and they both connect us to God's power. And contentment is taking our present situation. Think about your life right now. And whatever that obstacle is in front of you right now, and whatever is, you know, just shoving your dreams under right now, whatever limitation is in your life that you cannot control, you can't do anything about, and it's pushing you under and saying in the middle of that, it is really hard right now, and I don't like it. But with Christ's strength, I am equipped to face it with Him and the fullness of who He is. Do you remember Joseph in the Old Testament? Old Testament Joseph. Remember how all of his older brothers get together at one time and they sell their younger brother into slavery in Egypt? That's a bad day. You think you have a bad older brother, nothing like Joseph, a whole crew. I'm an older brother. I have an older brother. We have a younger sister. I remember as children, we once found this rat in a trap, and we chased our younger sister around the yard with it. She's still traumatized by rats. I'm sure I'll hear about it at Thanksgiving this week. But think about Joseph. What did he do when he was sold into slavery? Did I just admit that in church? Sorry. But, you know, what did he do? He maximized the moment he found himself in with God's strength and joy in a completely unjust, horrific situation. Completely unjust. Out of his control. And then God raised him up to become the right-hand person of Pharaoh. And then he was put in jail again, unjustly. And what did he do? He lived in God's strength, teaching us that our God really is powerful enough and loving enough to bring good out of the most horrific situations. And it wasn't easy for Joseph in jail, but he faced it with God's strength. And he used his life for the Lord, and he found his joy in the Lord. And later, Joseph will ultimately be used by God to save his people from starvation, and he will become a model to his entire family of what forgiveness really is when you've been incredibly wronged by a family. And God was his strength. God was his joy. So where is the thief in your life right now? Where's the thief? Where is he stealing your joy? And we may not have all the answers today, but I'll tell you what we do have. We have hope. We have the hope of Jesus Christ. And the Apostle Paul knew that his Savior made the best of every moment in his life. Because on the worst moment in human history, when Jesus, who is the true and better Joseph, was nailed to a tree, what did he do? Well, he took those nails, and he took that cross, and he turned them. He turned them into the world's redemption. And Jesus made the most of the cross. And he took all of our sin, all of our brokenness, all of our discontentment upon himself. And he was punished for our sin so that all who trust in him as Savior can be completely forgiven, completely, 100%, and live in the power of living with him as our Savior and our Lord and our best friend all at the same time, where we have his strength and his presence and his love available for us. And the great news that Paul is proclaiming in Philippians and that he staked his life on time and time again is that 3 days after Jesus Christ died on that cross, he rose again and he is alive. And as a result, you and I can come into his presence unashamed right now and receive his strength. As we live in him, and it is right there where God wants to give you his joy as well. Finding contentment in Christ is a secret learned. We practice it by the grace of God as we grow. And it is a strength received. And God promises that we can face anything with him. Let's pray. Father, I pray that you'll meet your people right where they are right now. And I pray that you will squash the thief of discontentment that steals our joy and our hope. And we thank you for the cross. We thank you for Jesus. We thank you for your Spirit, that we can face what we have in front of us today with you. And Lord, we welcome your strength today. We invite your joy, even if it feels far away at the moment. And Lord, we pray as we do that you will get all the glory because you are worthy. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.